Hello, everybody. With Bob Christopher and Richard Piper, I'm Bob Davis, welcoming you to Basic Gospel, a media ministry dedicated to helping you hear, believe, and live the good news of Jesus Christ. We're live, on the air, and online right now, so you can be a part of the broadcast. If you have a question or need direction for the troublesome issues of real life, we invite you to call now. The number, 844-32-BASIC. That's 844-32-BASIC. Or the full number, 844-322-2742. This is Basic Gospel, and here's Bob Christopher.
Hello, everybody. Sorry about that. That was my fault. The truth is, Bob Christopher's not here today, so you get to listen to me, Richard Piper, and let me give you that number again, 844-322-2742. We do have a couple of calls coming in right now, and we'll get to them pretty soon. But I wanted to introduce this program with a further conversation about this new creation thing we've been talking about. If you recall, on Monday we started out with 2 Corinthians 5:17. If anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. And we want to talk about what that means. It's nice to hear that I'm a new creation, but okay, what does that mean? I don't know sometimes. And I think there's a parallel passage that helps us really well to understand this, and that's in Galatians 5, 16 through 24, 25 in that area. Yesterday we looked at verses 16 and 17. We can walk by the Spirit or we can gratify the desires of the flesh. And today I want to look at what does this battle between flesh and spirit look like. Yesterday we talked about it being a real battle. But for the person who is a child of God, that battle takes place in the context of already being saved, already being a child of God. Today we're going to look at what it means to fight that battle, and Paul is very, very explicit in how that looks. First, verses 19 through 21. Now the works of the flesh are evident: sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and things like these. I warn you, as I warned you before, that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. This passage should look familiar to all of us, me and you, because all of us have lived with one or more of these issues at some point in our lives. It's just the nature of the beast. It's the nature of being born in Adam and then retaining that flesh, though not the sin nature, but the flesh that is indwelt by sin, that is beset by sin. So is Paul saying we can lose our salvation if we do any of these things? And both the context of the passage and other passages in the Bible tell us absolutely not. In fact, if you listen to this last phrase, those that do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God, the word "do" there refers to an action as continued or not yet completed, what one does repeatedly, continually, habitually. In short, Paul is talking about people who continually do these kinds of things. They are, in fact, deriving their identity from them. Okay? If you are deriving your identity from these kinds of behaviors, you are not saved. Therefore, you'll never inherit the kingdom of God. If you are saved, if you are a child of God, then you still have a tendency at times to behave like this, but it is not your identity. It is not your sole purpose, your calling in life. So don't be discouraged by it. Don't be fearful of it. If you're lost, find out and come to Jesus. I mean, that's literally what he's saying. But if you're saved, there is just the hassle of dealing with this kind of sin every once in a while in our lives. The reality is that identity always, always drives behavior. You are not what you do, rather, you do what you are. If you're lost, the only thing you'll ever do from a behavioral standpoint is lost things. If you are saved, in the event that you do any of this stuff, you have to remember that you are a forgiven person. And as a forgiven person, you move forward. You may hurt. You may have hurt someone else. You may have things to apologize for. You may have things to do prison time over. But you are saved, and you are forgiven, and you get to move forward. Let's move on to the positive side, verses 22 and the first half of 23. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Note the contrast here between works of the flesh and fruit of the Spirit. Work is something you do, a task to be performed, etc. It can be a positive thing, but here it is a wholly negative thing because it flows from the flesh. This work, as described in the earlier passage, is self-absorbed and self-referenced. It is about experiencing pleasure and exercising power. On the other hand, the fruit is something produced by a process other than the mere physical presence of the thing. Look at a peach tree. It's a peach tree because we know that it produces peaches, but the tree itself, just sitting there, standing there, planted in the ground, has nothing to do with the peaches. The peaches are inherently part of the genetics of that tree, and if watered properly and fed properly, will produce that fruit. It's the same thing with us, with the Spirit. The Spirit within us, in this case, produces the fruit. We cannot produce it by our flesh. Instead, we get to bear what the Spirit produces. The Spirit uses our minds, our hands, our feet, and our voices to express itself to the world. And so when you want to know what the nature of the battle between the flesh and the Spirit is, these words, these phrases, these descriptions tell you what that is. And they tell you in no uncertain terms. If you're living in the flesh, you're going to see those kinds of behaviors. If you're living by grace through faith with the indwelling Holy Spirit, you are going to see those kinds of things. And it's contrasted between work and fruit. If you ever feel like you're working hard as a Christian, chances are you're living in the flesh. If you're bearing fruit and you're surprised every day at what the Spirit is willing to do with you and through you, then you're walking by faith in the Spirit. And so this is a wonderful realization for the child of God, for the new creation, that this kind of life is possible. And if we didn't have this, if we didn't have the Spirit doing this kind of stuff in us, we would never, ever get to the point of knowing God or being saved forever. But we are saved forever.
Richard, Bob Davis here. And,
yeah, good to have you.
Wondering if you were hearing me or not, but we are here, and glad to hear your voice on the broadcast this afternoon. And friends, we want to remind you that we have open lines, and that number is 844-322-2742. Again, that's good in the U.S. and in Canada, 844-322-2742. And keep in mind, friends, that each day we stream live video to both Facebook and YouTube, and we hope you're enjoying this feature of Basic Gospel. Remember, too, that Basic Gospel is a listener-supported program. And, Richard, of course, we're getting down to crunch time with regard to our financial need and
yes,
the impending end of our fiscal year. As we talked yesterday, give us an idea of what we're facing before the 30th of this month, or by the 30th, I should say.
Okay. Well, we honestly need $199,000 during the month of June to clear the books and make a good start for the first half of our next fiscal year. This is a serious deal. I mean, there are bills to pay and all of that stuff comes about, but we're not really that worried about it. It's a serious thing, but not a fearful thing. Remember last month we talked about how to deal with emotions and depression and, you know, anxiety. This, for us, is a time to practice what we preach.
Yeah.
We could get all wrapped around the axle about how worried we are and how terrible things could be if we don't see this money. That serves no one. It doesn't serve us. It doesn't serve you. It certainly doesn't serve Jesus Christ. What we're going to do is walk by faith, because God is always faithful. We're trusting Him, and we're trusting you with Him working in you to help us meet this need. $199,000 isn't very much money when you think of the total number of people that are listening. If it was
exactly
just me and you, then we've got a problem.
Yeah.
But it isn't just me and you. It's thousands of people who come together and meet this need. And what we're really doing is all together as partners is we're sharing Jesus Christ with the world, literally the world. We're on in 100-some countries in the world.
Yeah.
We're on everywhere by Facebook and YouTube. It's just an awesome responsibility, an awesome opportunity, and you know, I thank you in advance for how you folks are going to help us meet this. We've already had some people chime in, if you want to use that term, with gifts, and it's just so gratifying. We praise God for every one of you who partner with us. We invite the rest of you, talk to the Spirit and say, how can I help these folks? And then do what he tells you to do.
Yes, indeed. Well, of course, the end of our fiscal year is the 30th of this month. And friends, when you join with us, we're going to say thanks to you by sending you our new CD series called The Real You. And I don't think there are many things, Richard, I think you would agree, many things more important than understanding who you have become in the Lord Jesus Christ. You've become a child of the living God, and that is some identity. Well, just click donate at basicgospel.net or phone your gift to 844-322-2742 and get to know the real you. Again, that's 844-322-2742 or donate at basicgospel.net. Either way, a great way to join with us and be a partner with us in this message of God's unconditional love and grace in the Lord Jesus Christ. Once again, open lines 844-322-2742. If you're hearing this broadcast during the first half of the 3 o'clock p.m. Central Time hour, you're hearing a live broadcast, and we want you to be a part of it. We want you to pose your question or join the conversation and add something to the discussion. Again, 844-322-2742. And in the meantime, going to swing down to Thorndale, Texas, and talk to our good friend Clay. Clay, welcome to the broadcast. You're on the air.
Hello.
Hey there.
Hi, Clay.
Hello, Clay, you there?
Well, hello?
Okay.
We're not getting him for some reason.
Yeah, for some reason. Let me give the number one more time, and while the engineers seem to or can possibly get that corrected, 844-322-2742. And if we can't get that corrected, doesn't mean much to get the number, does it?
So, well, anyway, he's here, but he's apparently not hearing us. So
yeah,
we can hear him.
Well, in the meantime, while we're addressing that problem, we had a question from Rick about Christian living. It's from Exodus 21, and Rick says, "Hi guys, thank you so much for your ministry. I listen as much as possible. I enjoy your Friday teaching the most," which is interesting. I like that comment. He says, "I'm conflicted over this issue. Please help me with the meaning of Exodus 21, verses 18 and 19. He says, "I was in a car crash. The car was damaged and I was injured. The car was repaired by the other motorist's insurance. My question is, what about compensation for my 18-month injury? My doctor says I'm entitled to claim an injury, but Exodus says to me that I'm entitled to wages lost only. I had no wages lost. Do I just forgive the other motorist and move on? Thanks to you and your team. You're making such an incredible difference, and thanks for your understanding." That's from Rick, who dropped us an email.
Yeah. Well, I know this is a serious issue for Rick, but it's not really a serious issue. There is no need to go back into the old covenant under the Mosaic law and all of the issues associated with that law and try to figure out how to deal with situations today. Yes, this was a serious accident. Yes, the car was repaired. Yes, there was a time when you were out of work. The laws of our land allow you to sue for damages. That's your choice. That's your call. The new covenant says to forgive as we've been forgiven. What it's actually saying is to free that other person from anything that they might owe you. And that could be emotional issues. It could be financial issues. It could be all kinds of different things. If you want to live by the law, then you have to leave this alone. But then there's a whole bunch of other things you have to do. You have to offer sacrifices. You have to show up in Jerusalem on several feast days during the year. There's all manner of things that you have to do. The old covenant, the Mosaic covenant, does not apply to you as a child of God.
Right.
Period. Okay. What applies to you now are the laws of faith, hope, and love. So rather than talking to your doctor or to a lawyer, what I'd suggest is talking to the indwelling spirit and say, what should I do here? I know there were losses that I suffered. Even though I got paid, I couldn't go to work. I missed certain kinds of relationship at work about projects and all of that that work so much better face-to-face. Is this something I should pursue or not? And if the spirit says pursue it, then call the person and say, is there some agreement we can come to about this? If there's not, then you have to decide whether a lawsuit is reasonable.
Right.
Lawsuits are nasty things. I don't know that there's any winner in a lawsuit, so think carefully. If the spirit says, no, drop it, then drop it. Walk by faith in that situation and try not to get wrapped up in, you know, what am I owed? Whenever we ask the question, what am I owed, we generally lead ourselves down a path that we don't want to go.
Sure.
Now, I'm not saying you don't have a claim. I'm not saying that this would be illegal or immoral. I'm saying walk by faith. Keep your eyes on Jesus. Let the Holy Spirit lead you in this situation and behave accordingly. It's your call to make under the Spirit's leading. And if you think you're correct afterwards, praise God.
Yes.
If you think you've been wrong afterwards, whatever decision you make, praise God anyway. You've learned something. And I just think we need to get out of the Old Testament in terms of this kind of thing. You wouldn't want to be, you know, sacrificing your son or daughter because of something they did. Don't even go there.
Yeah.
Walk by faith with your eyes fixed on Jesus.
Rick, hope you're listening. Hope that's a help to you. That was good advice, Richard. I appreciate hearing that. You know, it actually cuts both ways, you know.
Yeah.
When there's something of the nature that is a potential lawsuit, you go to law. That might solve the issue, but there's still that enmity between the parties, and
yes.
It's a tough situation sometimes. Well, anyway, 844-322-2742. We want to hear from you. Want you to pose your question on this edition of Basic Gospel. Again, 844-322-2742. Richard Piper, I'm Bob Davis, and we thank you for joining us. Let's see if we can talk to Clay now. Clay, you on the air? Are you there, Clay? I cannot hear Clay, so
okay. Sorry.
Yeah. Well, let's take a question from Samuel, who addressed us through our YouTube channel. He says, usually I put a big question mark over religion's definition of hell. It seems to defeat God's definition of judgment. Man was judged in Christ, yet Satan and his demons remain to be judged. What helps me is this. God made us alive in Christ. It wasn't my choice, but by his choice, and I rejoice over his choice daily. That's a nice realization from Samuel there.
Yeah, it is. The reality is that hell is a real thing. The reality is also that we have no idea what that is. You and I have not been there. We describe certain situations in life as having gone through hell, but we haven't.
No.
One of the things that has helped me is the study of Revelation. And if any of you know me, I go at Revelation very differently than the average person. I think the Revelation is about two things. First and foremost, Revelation is about Jesus Christ as the overwhelming victor in any of this sin problem.
Yeah.
It's already done. We're already seated with him. He is the king. He is everything. Well, the other thing Revelation does is unmask Satan. It reveals Satan for who he is and his world system for what it is. And every time Jesus is revealed in Revelation, there is praising and there is weeping and joy and falling on our faces. Every time Satan is unmasked in Revelation, he kills a few more thousand people. Because that's what Satan does. All the way through Revelation is this sense that God is asking people to ignore Satan and to focus on Jesus, to choose life instead of continuing to live in death. And the pain of it is that so many people in Revelation refuse to repent. I mean, it actually uses that phrase, refuse to repent. God cannot save you if you won't repent and turn to him. Repenting is to change your mind regarding who you believe and what you're doing with your life, and to turn and to change your focus. You don't know where to turn to in repentance unless you change your focus. If you've been focused on the world and its system, change from that focus to focus on Jesus. Walk toward Jesus, and he will change your life, give you life eternal. It's as easy as that. So all of those people throughout history who have refused to accept Jesus have only one thing to do, and that's to be thrown into hell. Right. Remember, all humans were born dead spiritually. We were born lost. The choice is to accept Jesus to be saved. If we'll do that, we're saved forever, for eternity. We are with Christ. Our names are written in the book of life. The Holy Spirit lives in us. It can't be any easier. It can't be any clearer than that. So whatever hell is, for however long it lasts, whatever is involved, any of that stuff, leave that in God's hands. He's the perfect judge. He knows what needs to be done. He will do it in the absolute best way imaginable. Mm-hmm. Leave it there.
Yeah.
And I think Samuel has left it there. He has discovered that God's intent is life, not death. Satan's intent is death. But God comes to a point where he has to say, you've chosen death, you will remain dead. And that's the end of it.
Yes, indeed. Samuel, I hope you too are listening, and that's a help to you. And friends, if you would like to pose a question to us and can't get to us by phone while we're actually on the air live, we encourage you to drop us a note at basicgospel.net. Make it Bob at basicgospel.net. Again, that's Bob at basicgospel.net. Or you can phone your question. We'd love to hear it in your voice at 844-322-2742. Again, that number is available 24 hours a day, 844-322-2742. Richard, while we're in that old covenant, let's take care of this one from Maria in Oceanside, New York. She says, my question is regarding the 10% tithe. I'm so confused because some teachers say that we don't go to the Old Testament and others say we do. Is Malachi for us today? Is tithing a must? I'm confused. Please help.
In a word, no. In another word, no. Tithe was a beautiful system set up by God in the Old Covenant to make sure that the Levites were taken care of. Also, that widows and orphans and homeless foreigners were taken care of. Okay? What a beautiful thing. The Levites needed to be taken care of because they didn't have a direct inheritance in the land. They were to be God's representatives to the rest of the people. So therefore, the rest of the tribes supported them. That's not the way of the New Covenant. The New Covenant says God has taken care of all of our debts in Christ. And so now we can live under the grace of giving. We can set things aside as God leads us. We can give hilariously. We can give out of what we have, not out of what we don't have.
Right.
We can give because he leads us to give. And that's one of the reasons why there's so much peace in the New Covenant. We don't owe God anything. We don't owe each other anything other than love. And if one of the expressions of love is a tangible expression of money, then so be it. If it's coming over and having lunch, so be it. There are no rules about this. There is only love and peace and joy and being led by the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
By the way, that is why you will never hear us ask for money in a way that says you owe us because we're ministers and you need to pay us tithe.
Right.
We
yes.
don't do that. We don't believe it. God has managed this ministry for over 35 years without tithe. He will continue to do so now.
He's done a pretty good job, I'd say.
Yes, he has.
Well, friends, we're only 23 days away from the end of that fiscal year, and to say thanks for your help this month, we'll send you a copy of our new CD series called The Real You. Just click donate at basicgospel.net, or you can phone your gift to 844-322-2742 and get to know The Real You. Again, that's 844-322-2742, or click the donate button at basicgospel.net. Well, thanks for joining us for this edition of Basic Gospel, everybody. Now for Bob Christopher, for Richard Piper and the ministry team, I'm Bob Davis, inviting you to be with us again tomorrow for Basic Gospel. We'll see you then. Bye-bye.